We're holding on Zion Omotbay is the third line of the wide lines. So we've been talking about the point that a Mazik has to pay out of Metav. If he's paying with land, he has to pay with the best quality land that he has. We went through yesterday the discussion, what about if he pays with Metalplin? We eventually concluded that any Metalplin are considered Metav, and all because you can take them, because you can always take them someplace else and sell them. And only when it comes to Kauka do we say that there's that distinction. So now more on that topic. Abominate of Shmuel ba'Abba me'akrunia mirab Abba. Rav Shmuel ba'Abba from Akrunia, name of a place, asked Rav Abba, "Kashahin shomin." When we figure out what is the definition of idis for this purposes, or for that matter, when we talk about the other ones, beninis for Baal Chayv, ziboris for Ksubas Isha, b'shaloihin shomin. Do we figure it out in accordance with what he himself has? So, in other words, whatever he himself has as idis is what he's going to give. Which would mean, in other words, Rashi says, so let's say, for example, what if he has Idis and Ziburis, and his Ziburis is the equivalent of what most people would consider Idis. So in other words, he has what most people would consider Idis, and then he has on top of that, he has even better land that's better than the average Idis. So then we would say, now if we say B'shaloi Hen Shamin, he's going to have to give what is Idis relative to him. Or do we maybe go according to what the rest of the world has, since as far as the rest of the world, as far as everybody else in that area, their idis is of a lower quality and it's comparable to his ziburis, then maybe he can get away with paying only with his ziburis. So Reb Shmuel Ba'Abba points out, now, if you're asking according to Rabbi Shmuel, there'd be no reason to even ask the question. We discussed before the machlokas Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva on what basis do we calculate when we say meitav sadehu or meitav karmai. We said Rabbi Shmuel had said that means the best of the feet or the best of the quality of the nizik. So according to Rabbi Shmuel, then there's no question. The nizik shaymin, and he says you figure out according to the nizik. So therefore, obviously, the mazik ziburis is the equivalent of the nizek's idis. It's the equivalent of everyone's idis, we said. So there's no question, according to Rabbi Shmuel, that he could pay with his ziburis. We're showing him give a few other reasons why the question is not according to Rabbi Shmuel. Tosva says, we said Rabbi Shmuel learned from Gzeirah Shava. So therefore, because of that Gzeirah Shava, then we have no choice but to say he's able to pay with Ziburis if he wants, Ziburis of his, which is equal to Idis of the Nizik. Rabbi Akiva, though, Rabbi Akiva didn't learn from Gzeirah Shava. He said, Loi Bo HaKosav. He said we have to understand the Pasuk differently. So maybe he means that, he said that you don't go according to the Nizik. So we discussed before, does that mean you go according to the Mazik? Fine, but maybe Rabbi Akiva would say you don't go according to the Nizik, but you could go according to Alma. If it so happens that the Nizik himself only has lesser quality fields, then you can't say that the Mazik is going to get away with a lesser payment. But if you say that everybody has lesser quality fields than the Mazik, then maybe even Rabbi Akiva would agree. And then there are different other explanations, one of them being that since Rabbi Akiva had used the expression loy bo, since Rabbi Akiva had used the expression loy bo kosov elo ligris the nazik and mina idis, so therefore it was clear that Rabbi Shmuel wants to be makel on the Mazik. So maybe therefore we should be mazik. Therefore we should be maybe makel on him in this case as well. The fact is also Rabbi Akiva had not said it in so many words, at least not in the original braisa that we brought, that you go according to the mazik. We only brought a later braisa that says that. So maybe Rabbi Akiva in fact holds that you don't necessarily go according to the nizik or the mazik, and you can go according to Alma. Anyway, so you have, so whatever the case, however we explain it, the point is the question is not going to be according to Rabbi Shmuel. Kitibori, lacha libidi Rabbi Akiva. The question is going to be according to Rabbi Akiva, where the halacha is like him, da'oma b'di mazik shayminan, where he says we go according to what the mazik has. So, my, meitav sadehu omar achmona l'ma'uti dinizik, when Rabbi Akiva says meitav sadehu, and we said Rabbi Akiva had meant that sadehu doesn't mean the field of the nizik like Rabbi Shmuel had understood. It means, so all he means is you're excluding, he can't get away with giving something that's only equal to the best field of the Nizik. But maybe But maybe then in this case, where it's not just the Nizik, everybody else also has lesser quality Idis, then maybe he can get away with paying with something of lesser quality of his Ziboris, or maybe not. Maybe when Rabbi Akiva says that we're excluding the Nizik, it also means we're excluding everybody else. And it means, therefore, that he can't get away with paying anything less than his own Idis. His own Idis is far better than everybody else's Idis. Doesn't matter. Rabbi Akiva would be implying that that's how you have to do. So that's the question. So Rabbi Abba answers, what are you even asking the question? Rachmana Oma Meitav Sadehu. After all, the Pasuk says that you have to pay with the best of your field. You want to argue you go only according to the world? Of course not. You shouldn't even have the question. Of course, when you have to have Meitav somehow, if you're going to have that he's paying with Ziburis of his, which is only the equivalent of Meitav of everybody else, fine, you can say Rabbi Shmuel is going to say Meitav Sadehu means you go according to the Nizik. Rabbi Akiva, we said, is not going to go according to the Nizik. Well, there's no basis to say that Rabbi Akiva should go according to the Olam, according to Alma, according to everybody else, because that won't be Meitav Sadehu. No matter how you figure out, Meitav Sadehu has to refer to one of the people who's involved with you, either the Nizik or the Mazik. And since Rabbi Shmuel has said that it's the Nizik, and Rabbi Akiva clearly disagrees, then the only other one it can be is the Mazik. So yes, says Rabbi Abba, the Mazik is going to have to pay with his Idis, even though that's far better than everybody else's. But then, eighth day, so Rabbi Shmuel says, I have a question. A Braisa says, suppose a person only owns Idis fields, then, and we learned yesterday, you have a Nizik is supposed to get from Idis, a Baal Choyv is supposed to get from Beninis, and a woman collecting Huxuba is supposed to get from Ziboris. Now, if the guy has only Idis, Kulam Govimina Idis, then all of them collect from Idis. The Chiddush of that is, now on the face of it, there's not much of a Chiddush. What do you mean? What else are they supposed to collect from? The Meiri explains the Chiddush is that that he can't say, well, look, right now I only have Idis. I don't want to have to pay Idis for the Baal Choyv and the Ksubas Isha. After all, you guys are only supposed to get Beninis and Ziburis respectively. So wait, I'm going to go and buy some Beninis and Ziburis fields, and then I'll give those to you. The Chiddush says he can't say that. We go according to how things are right now. Right now he has only Idis, therefore he has to pay them all out of Idis. Obviously, the amount of Idis he's going to be giving them, as we discussed before, is going to be smaller than the amount of Beninis or Ziburis he would be giving them, because it's always a particular, it's always an exact dollar value. So $100 of Idis is going to be a smaller plot of land than $100 of Beninis or Ziburis. Anyway, continues the Braisa. Beninis, if he only has Beninis fields, Kulam Govin Beninis, then all of them are going to collect Beninis, because that's all he has. Ziburis, Kulam Govin Ziburis, and if he has Ziburis, then all of them are collecting only Ziburis. Same idea. They can't say, on the contrary, we're going to wait until, they can't say, well, they could. I mean, obviously, they could wait and collect later, but the point is that, rather, the Chiddush is that he can't say that, look, you know, among the fields that I have, this particular one of my Ziburis, I consider it to be Idis. No, we go according to the objective value. All of them are Ziburis, therefore, any one of them has the right to collect any one of them. He can't say, I want to earmark this one for this particular purpose and that one for that particular purpose. Fine. Then the Braisa continues. Hoyulo idis beninis viziboris. What if he has all three? Then the usual rules apply. Nizokin be idis or baal choyv be beninis uksubas yishu viziboris. Then fine. The nizik, the baal choyv, and the woman, the wife, are each going to be collecting from their respective thing. What about idis or beninis? Continues the Braisa, what if he only has Idis and Beninis, no Ziburis? Then Nizokin be Idis, the Nizik is going to collect out of Idis, because that's how they're supposed to be. Or Baal Choyv, Ksuba Sisha be Beninis, then the Baal Choyv and the woman for Huksuba are both going to collect from Beninis, even though usually a woman is collecting from Ziburis, but here, since he doesn't have any Ziburis, then she collects and she gets upgraded to Beninis. Beninis v'ziburis, what happens if he doesn't have Idis, only Beninis and Ziburis, Nizokin Baal Choyv Beninis, then the Baal Choyv is going to get Beninis because that's what he's supposed to get. The Nizokin is going to get Beninis because there's no choice, he doesn't have Idis. Huksuba Sisha v'ziburis, and the wife is going to get Huksuba from Ziburis, which is how things normally are. Then continues the Braisa. Idis v'ziburis. What about if he only has Idis and ziburis, no beinus? Then we do like this, nizokin be'idis. The nizok gets idis because that's how he's supposed to. Or bal choyv uksubas isha b'ziburis. The bal choyv is going to get downgraded to ziburis, and the ksubas isha, of course, is getting ziburis anyway. The bal choyv is getting downgraded to ziburis because Rashi explains, given that midaraisa, a bal choyv is anyway only supposed to get ziburis. Only midarabanan did we upgrade into beinus because we said shalatino delas bifnei loivin. We don't want to lock the door in front of people who want to borrow money. We don't want that a person is going to say, well, look, why should I bother lending you money if there's a good chance all I'm going to get out of it is ziburis? So that's why usually he gets beininess, but here, where the guy doesn't have beininess, we don't upgrade him all the way to idis. We leave him at ziburis. So bal choyv, so basishab ziburis. So therefore, the takana doesn't apply in that case. Now, so thus far the braisa. So now says Rav Shmuel Ba'aba, Katoni Mia Mitzia. Now we had in the middle of the Braisa, we had the case Beinus v'ziburis nizokin b'al choy b'beinus k'subas isha b'ziburis. So we said when the guy has only Beinus and ziburis, so what do we say? The nizok gets all, and the b'al choy get only Beinus, the k'subas isha gets from ziburis. So you're telling me, in other words, the point is, let's focus on the Baal Choyv. And we're saying a Baal Choyv should get Beninus, but we're saying when there's no Beninus, then he gets downgraded to Ziburis. Now, the Amit B'Shaloi Hein Shomin. Now, you, Rav Abba, are telling me that we go according to his. You wanted to say that because the Pasuk says, Mate of Sadehu, and therefore, and since according to Rav Akiva, that doesn't refer to the fields of the Nizek, therefore it has to refer to the fields of the Mazik, And therefore we have to say the mazik in that case where he has a far better quality field than anybody else, he has to give that. Okay, so if we apply that rule across the board, b'shaloi hein shamin, then it would come out in our case where the guy has beinus and ziburis, te'osa beinus shaloi ki'idis, then you would have to say in this case it's the other way around. He doesn't have such good quality fields. The best that he has is beinus. So his beinus should be the equivalent of idis, because you say you go according to how he has. So in effect, what he has, if you go b'shaloi, you're not going according to the common valuation of these things. If you go according to his, then it comes out what he has as beinus is really relative to him as idis. So in effect, he has idis and ziburis. So therefore, the Baal Choyv shouldn't get beinus. He should get pushed down to ziburis. So if you say that you go according to b'shel olam hein shamin, then fine. You say, look, the definition of an idis field is one that's worth more than X number of dollars per acre. So he doesn't have that. But he had the definition of beinus as something that's worth between this and this. So fine, then you tell his Baal Choyv that he can collect from beinus. But if you're telling me b'shaloi hein shomin, meaning that it's always a sliding scale depending on what he himself has, then in that case he doesn't have. Then in that case we should consider this guy doesn't have any beinus for the Baal Choyv. All he has is idis and ziburis in effect. And since we said in the end of the Braisa that if he only has Idis and Ziburis, then the Baal Choyv gets Ziburis. So it should be the same thing over here. The Baal Choyv should only get Ziburis. Why is he getting Beninus when Beninus is the best the guy has, and a Baal Choyv is not supposed to be getting the best the guy has? The answer is, Hocha Maiskin and Kontroisalo Idis Umochra. The answer is, the case of the Braisa, when it says that Baal Choyv is going to collect from Beninus, when he has only Beninus and Ziburis, we're talking about that at the time when he borrowed the money, he had Idis, and then afterwards he sold it. So now what happened is, when he took out the loan, he sold that Idis after he had taken out the loan. So when he took out the loan, a shibud was created on his beinus. Well, now that even though he sold his Idis, that doesn't change. That shibud doesn't shift to a different lane. So that would be the case. You're right. Based on the logic of b'shaloi hein shamin, if to begin with he only ever owned beinus and ziburis, you would have to say the Baal Choyv should realize that eventually if he's collecting from land, he's going to get only ziburis. But when at the time of the loan, the guy did have idis as well, and therefore the Baal Choyv had every expectation of getting beinus, then he continues to have that expectation, that shibud does not move over to a different character. And Rav Chista says the same thing. And the Gemara says, in fact, it's logical you have to understand the Braisa that way. That we're talking about that particular case in the Braisa is talking about where he had Idis and sold it. Midikatani Achriti, because the Braisa had continued, Benness was Ziburis, that if the guy has only Benness and Ziburis and he owes all three, so we said Nizokin be Benness, the Nizok is going to get Benness, Balchoiv Ksubas Isha be Ziburis, and Balchoiv and Ksubas Isha are going to get from Ziburis. Now, Kash and Ahadadi. If you didn't say that you're talking about, if he didn't say that you're talking about when he had Idis and sold it, then wouldn't there be a stira? Wouldn't there be a contradiction? First, we're saying that the Baal Chayv gets Benness, Katani Achriti doesn't mean in the continuation of the same Braisa, but rather there's a different Braisa. So our Braisa that we quoted before, the long Braisa that Rav Shmuel Ba'aba quoted, beginning Ein Lo Ela Idis, that one said that if he has only Benness and Ziburis, we said the Nizokin and the Baal Chayv get Benness, the Ksubas Isha and Ziburis. Now, a different braisa, katani achriti, mit katani achriti means we learn in a different braisa that no, bainness for ziburis, nizokin be bainness, baal choyv ksubas isha be ziburis. That one says only the nizokin get bainness. The baal choyv and the ksubas isha are going to get ziburis. Kash in ahadori, so wouldn't you have a contradiction then between the two braises? One is saying that in that case, the baal choyv gets bainness. The other is it says that it gets idis. So obviously the answer must be that that's how we reconcile them, like Rav Abba answered and like Rav Chista agreed to, that the two braises are talking about different scenarios. One where he had Idis and he sold it, so therefore he had Idis at the time of the loan. Therefore, the Baal Chayv had a shibur on the Benness, not on the Ziburis, because at the time, the guy had Idis and Benness and Ziburis, and we know, of course, in that case, the Baal Chayv is entitled to Benness, and then he sold his Idis, and the Baal Chayv still continues to be able to get that Benness, whereas the second Braisa would be talking about where he didn't have Idis in the first place. So therefore, the Baal Chayv to begin with was only in line to get Ziburis, and therefore that's how it comes out now. Okay, so that's one way of understanding it. The Ibois Ema, or you know what, you could give another answer as well. There is another way that we could reconcile the Braisa. You could say, now here, Rav Abba was telling us that B'shal Olam Hen Shomin, that we do go according to, Rav Abba had answered B'shaloi Hen Shomin, we go according to the valuation of the guy's own property, and therefore we said at the beginning, if he has Idis that's far better than everybody else's, then according to Rav Akiva, which is the halacha, he's going to be paying out his nezakin out of that field. Now we're gonna say, and we said we can answer the contradiction of the two braises using that point that b'shaloi hein shamin, and say one braise is talking about we previously had idis and the other one is not. Now the bois ema. Now another way you could understand to reconcile the two braises is idiv idis shaloi hoy shaloi idis amachra. In either case, we're talking about he did not have idis and sold it. He never had idis in the first place, or it could even be that he still has. Tosfos explains it can also mean that he still has Idis. Shaloi hoisav Idis umachro could be that he never had Idis, or so one Bryce would be talking about he never had Idis. The other one is talking about where he had Idis and he still has it. V'loi kasha, but we can still say there's no contradiction between the Bryces. Shavya beinus shaloi Idis ta'alma v'kandaloi shavya. It depends. So he has Idis, which we said his Idis is far better than everybody else's. What about his Beinness? Is his Beinness the equivalent of everybody else's Idis, or is it not? So you could look at it. He didn't have Idis in the first place, but his Beinness is the equivalent of everybody else's Idis. So the first Braisa is going to say, B'shal Olam Hen Shomin, we look at the universal value of Beinness, of Idis versus Beinness versus Ziburis. So therefore, we're going to say this guy has Beinness. Yes, it's true his Beinness is equal to everybody else's Idis. However, the fact is it is Beinness, and a Baal Chayv is entitled to Beinness, therefore he's going to get it. Then whereas the second Braisa would hold that B'shaloi Hein Shomin is going to say that no, we have to go according to his valuation. He himself doesn't have Idis. He has Beinness. True that his Beinness is much better than everybody else's, but the fact is that is relative to him. That's Idis, and a Baal Chayv doesn't get from Idis. Therefore, we're going to downgrade him to Ziburis. That's Rashi's first explanation. Rashi brings a second girsa that we're talking about. That Rashi's first girsa is Rashi's preferred girsa is not like we have it in the Gemara in front of us. Rashi's preferred girsa is we're talking about that his bainness is equivalent to everybody else's bainness. So there he didn't have idis to begin with. So the first braisa is going to say, "Bishal olam hein shamin." His bainness is equivalent to everybody else's bainness. Therefore, the Baal Chayiv gets that. The second one is going to say, "Look, bishal oy hein shamin." Yes, this is bainness relative to everybody else, but it's idis relative to him because he doesn't have anything better. Therefore, the Baal Chayiv can't get from that because the Baal Chayiv doesn't get from idis unless there's nothing else other than idis. So that was Rashi's first explanation. Then Rashi brings the second explanation and the girsa, which is the girsa that we have in front of us in the Gemara, which is that he had idis and then he sold it. So the first price would say shaloi hein shamin. Again, at one point, it was his bainness. It is comparable to everybody else's idis, but therefore the Baal Chayiv will collect from that. And the second one will say shaloi lam hein shamin. Rashi, so according to Rashi's first explanation and girsa, in short, the first braisa holds b'shaloi olam hein shamin, and the second one holds, like Rab Abba had said, b'shaloi hein shamin, and according to the second girsa in Rashi, it's the other way around. The first braisa holds b'shaloi hein shamin, like Rab Abba had said, and the second one holds b'shaloi olam hein shamin. Tosfos has a Tosfos prefers the second girsa and the second explanation. His bainness is equivalent to everybody else's idis. And Tosfos explains a bit differently than Rashi. Shaloi hoysala idis umachra. Rashi's girsa was shahoysala idis umachra. So in Rashi's first girsa, he didn't have idis to begin with, and the second one he did. According to Tosfos, we're talking about in one case he had idis and sold it, and the other one is talking about he never had idis in the first place. So kind of a hybrid between the two of them. Marsha points out, in fact, that we would probably want to assume when the Gemara said before shahoisala idis umachra and Reb Chista endorsed that understanding as well, we would rather stick with that understanding rather than start with a whole new understanding of the scenario and say that he never had idis in the first place. That may be, says Marsha, why Rashi prefers the first lashon, that we are still continuing with the point that he had idis and sold it. We're just dealing with the question over here, is his bainness right now equivalent to everybody else's idis? Or equivalent to everybody else's bainness in Rashi's first girsa. The Iboyasema continues the Gemara. Idiva, another way you could answer, Idiva Idika and Choice of Bainness for like a bainness alma. You could say that both Braises are talking about where his bainness is equivalent to everybody else's bainness. Bahok Pligi, the Bachlokus between the two Braises would be exactly that. Mar Sava Bashaloy Hin Shaman or Mar Sava Bashaloy Lam Hin Shaman. That could be the Bachlokus itself. Rav Abba is taking it as a given because the Pasuk says, Mate of Sadehu, it has to be that Bashaloy Hin Shaman, but not necessarily. The two Braises may be arguing on that very point. So one of them would say, therefore, the Bachloy was entitled to collect from Bainness always, even if his Bainness is the best that he has, and the other one, even though he never had idis in the first place, and the other one say no. B'shal olam hein shamin. The fact is, you have to go according to the valuation of. So one would say b'shal olam hein shamin. Therefore, the Baal Chayiv has to get bainness, even though this is his best. And the other one would say b'shal olam hein shamin. This is his best. Therefore, it's idis. A Baal Chayiv doesn't get idis. Therefore, we downgrade him to ziboris. So that would be another way of explaining the two braises. So not, in other words, where he didn't have idis in the first place. The Boisema, yet another possibility. So those are several possibilities of reconciling the Braises. So it's true that you don't have to say that the Braises are agreeing on the point of B'shaloi Hit and Shaman. They may be disagreeing on that point. Ravina Omar, Ravina says, here's another answer. B'chlal, everything we've assumed so far is on the assumption that a Baal Chayiv is getting bainus. Now, we said before that midaraisa, Baal Chayiv gets only ziburis, and only midrabanan does he get upgraded to bainus. We can talk about, is that in fact the case? Is that always going to be the case? Or are there cases where we're not going to do that to Kanes Chachamim, and we're going to let the Baal Chayiv, and we're going to tell the Baal Chayiv he can collect only ziburis? And what's the, we have to figure what's the reason behind that din. So Ravina says, Vid Ula Pligi, the two Braises may be arguing about what Ula says. The Oma Ula, Dvar Torah about Choyv Ziburis. Ula says, really, after all, Minat Torah, a Baal Choyv should be getting only Ziburis if he's collecting land. Shenema, because the Posik says, the Posik is describing a case where the Baal Choyv wants a mashkin. So you're talking about that he previously lent money to the guy is defaulting on the debt, and now he wants to go collect a mashkin so that eventually the guy is either going to pay back and get his mashkin, or he's going to keep it. There the Posik talks about the idea that you have to return the mashkin every night, but anyway, or every day as the case may be. But anyway, the Posik says, Shenemar, Bachutz Tamud, the Posik says, you are not allowed to go into his house to take a mashkin. Bachutz Tamud, you have to stand outside. Well, Isha Shatan No Shaboy, the person that owes you the money, Yotzia Lechas Avoitachutza, he will bring out the mashkin to you outside. So you are not allowed to invade his house to take the mashkin. Whatever he brings out for you is what you're going to get as a mashkin. Strictly speaking, Tosfos says, it's not actually the loiva himself has to bring it out. Strictly speaking, we'll learn in Bava Metzia, later this year, Bez Hashem, that what happens is a shliach beistin goes into it. We're talking about, where the guy is defaulting on the debt. And therefore, so the malva goes to beistin, and beistin sends a shliach beistin. Now, the shliach beistin himself can go into the house. It's only the loiva that can't. But still, he's going to take whatever the loiva gives him. So therefore, so let's consider ma darka shel adam lahotzi lachutz. After all, when the pasuk phrases it as he brings it out, what does a person usually bring out of his house? Pachas shebe kelim, the least important, the least expensive of his kelim. So therefore, by saying bachutz tamod, by saying yotzi elecha, implies that we're talking about the least important of his kelim. Well, applying that to karka, then it means when he's bringing you karka, it means he's entitled to bring you the worst of his karka, his ziburis. In fact, actually, now we did learn before. Tosfos points out we learned before that kelim are always considered meitav. So what's the comparison anyway? The whole point is that kelim are always meitav because you can always take them and sell them someplace else. And karka, you have the distinction between idis and beinus and so forth. And the point is, Tosfos says, fine, but the comparison is, just like with kelim, he usually brings out the worst, the same way with karka, he's entitled to bring out and give you the worst. There are a few other explanations among Rishonim, among them that maybe there's a difference between whether we're talking about what the person himself is getting versus what he's giving you. There we can say, what he's giving you, not necessarily is everything considered meitav. Another point is also, maybe Ola disagrees with that conclusion before. We said, kol mili meitav, who all metalpon are considered meitav. Ola doesn't necessarily have to agree with that point. Anyway, whatever the case, so Minat Torah, he says, you see from that posuk that if the loiva is paying with land, he's entitled to pay with ziburis. Or ma tam omer baal choy bebeinis. So why did the Chachamim instead upgrade and say that the baal choy gets beinis? As we said, kadosh lo tinol delos bifnei loivin, so you don't lock the door in front of borrowers. In other words, so people are willing to lend money and not say, look, all I'm going to get out of it, I stand to only get ziburis out of it anyway, why should I bother? Well, we can say among the two braises, mar isle takanta de ola, mar lesle takanta de ola. Well, we can say the two braises disagree on that point. One of them holds of ola's takana and says, therefore, the Baal Choyv gets beinis. And the other one does not hold of that takana and would say, you know what? Anyway, the Baal Choyv is getting only ziburis. So therefore, the second braise would say, even if the guy has idis now, relative to what he has, we can consider it beinus. Even if it is beinus relative to his own fields and relative to everybody else's fields, b'shaloy or b'shaloylam, nevertheless, we would still say that, look, Baal Choyv is supposed to be getting only ziburis, as it is daraisa. The second braisa doesn't hold of the takana that Ula explains. I mean, Ula himself is an amora. The braisas are before him, but the point of the din itself is mentioned in a Mishnah in Gittin, that Baal Choyv gets beinus. Ula explained the reason behind it, which is why the Gemara is attributing it to Ula. And the point is, the second braisa doesn't have to agree with that, and it can say that, in fact, the Baal Choyv only gets ziburis anyway, and therefore, in that case, where the guy has only beinus and ziburis, then, in fact, the Baal Choyv is going to get ziburis, because anyway, all the time, the Baal Choyv is only entitled to get ziburis, according to the second braisa. So if we understand the two brises that way, then they're not arguing about at all about about b'shaloi or b'shaloi. The only way he would get bainus is if the guy has only bainus or only idis and bainus. Yeah. According to that set, according to this last way, according to Ravina's way of understanding the second brisa. Yeah. Okay. Fine. So that's that, whether we consider that b'shaloi hen shomen or b'shaloi lam hen shomen. So we said we have different brises that we can understand in different ways. Rav Abba had said as a flat statement, b'shaloi hen shomen, and said, after all, isn't that what the pasuk implies? And that, in fact, ends up being the halacha. So the halacha would actually be then, if the mazik has idis, which is far better than anybody else's idis, that is what you're collecting from him. You could say relative to everybody else, his bainness or even his ziburis counts like their idis. Doesn't matter. We're still taking his idis. In the case of Baal Choyv, a Baal Choyv gets bainness, and Ksubas Isha gets ziburis, and they also, we always go b'shaloi hein shaman.
Since your animal was mazik, we're going to take the best from you.
So we're going to say your animal was mazik, therefore you have to pay. Well, in the case if your animal was a, so it depends. If your animal was a tam, then you're only paying me gufoi. But as we said before, you're only paying up to the value of the animal. But yeah, if it's any other kind of hezik, the muad or any other kind of hezik, then you're paying. Yeah. So again, we said if the mazik wants to pay with metaltlin, he can pay with any kind of metaltlin. We talked about yesterday. There is the Rama, who holds that if he has money, then he has to pay money, and only if he doesn't have, can he pay with bran or other things like that. The most Rishonim disagree with that, and the halacha is taka not like that. He's allowed to pay with bran, even lachatchila, if that's what he wants. But if he's not going to pay with metaltlin, he's going to pay with land, then we have Xeris Akosov that he has to pay with metav, and in that case, he's going to be paying with the best, with what's considered idis relative to his field, even if that is far better than what everybody else considers
idis. If he has idis, he pays him to buy bran and give him bran.
Maybe, I don't know, yeah. Okay.
Can't say I want to have your idis.
There is, by the way, Tosfos points out in this connection, where the guy doesn't have, we're talking about according to this last explanation of Ravina, that the two brises are arguing whether b'chlal b'al choyv gets bainness or ziburis. You there is also a consideration. The Gemara mentions in Gittin, we learned it. Why indeed doesn't a Baal Choyv get idis? Why indeed do we only upgrade him to bainness? Why not chum upgrade him all the way to idis like a nizik? And the reason is because you don't want a person to do what they call in English predatory lending. He's going to lend the person money, figuring the guy is likely to default, and there you go. There I have an opportunity to get his idis. So therefore, we don't want to give him an incentive to do that. So therefore, that applies. That what Tosfos points out. That would apply in our Gemara over here. That if given the guy has only bainness and ziburis, then that according to the second brisa, that consideration becomes relevant. You don't necessarily want to give him the guy's bainness, because then to begin with, the lender may have said, you know what, I have a good idea, I'm going to lend the guy knowing that he has only bainness and ziburis, and then I'm going to end up getting his bainness. So therefore, that might be a reason to say that in that case, he sticks only with ziburis. Okay. Fine, continues the Gemara. Now let's talk about more cases. Now let's talk about, so we have idis, bainness, and ziburis. Let's talk about what happens if the guy sells his properties and there's a shibud on them. So who collects from what? So Tana Rabban, mocha le'echad, if a person sold his lands to one person, so again, a person has three kinds of debts, to a nizik, a baal choyv, and a ksuba, and he sold them all le'echad. He sold all of his idis and bainness and ziburis to one person. Or he sold them to three different people all at the same time. All of them take the place of the owner. Meaning, in other words, whoever bought the idis is going to be paying out the nizakin. Whoever bought the bainness is going to be paying out the baal choyv. And whoever bought the ziburis is going to be paying out the ksubas isha. On the other hand, if he sold them one after the other, then to different people. That's what we're going to talk about soon. What happens if he sells them all one after the other to one person? Right now, we're talking about where he sold them one after the other to three different people. Then all of them are going to collect from the last one who bought. That person bought the ziburis. Doesn't matter. All of them are collecting from ziburis because, as the Gemara is going to point out, the first and the second buyers can say, "Hinachti l'chamokim ligbas hemenu." when I bought property from this guy, then the first two people who bought can say, Hinachti l'chol makom ligvus hemenu. Look, I bought only one thing from this owner. At this point, he still has property of his own. That's b'nei chorin. You can't collect from the shabadim where there are b'nei chorin available. Therefore, you have no right to collect from. Therefore, you have no right to collect from me. Go collect from the last guy. Once the last guy bought, then the guy has no more property. All everything now is mishabadim. So therefore, you can collect from him, even though he's the one who bought the ziboris. So therefore, kulam goyim and achron, all of them collect from the last one. Ein loy, and if he doesn't have enough, goyim mishalafonav, then they go back to the next one before him. Ein loy, and if he still doesn't have enough, goyim mishalafnei ponav, then you go back to the first one who bought. The point is, now we don't keep the order of idis, beinus, and ziburis anymore. We go according to the order of what order they were sold in. So the Gemara asks, Tosfos, by the way, brings up the point that don't we have over here, Nizokin is a milval peh, and in general, does a milval peh collect from Meshubodim anyway? And the answer is either because they already went to Beistin, and then at that point it's considered as though it's Bishtar, or because it's Milvak Sofa Torah, because the Torah says he has to pay, and such a thing is also, the Gemara discusses in some places, is considered as though it's written in a Shtar. Tosfos also brings up a point that if the Nizik and the Baal Choyv and the Ksubas Isha are all coming at the same time to collect, then we're going to say that then we're going to have to look at which one's Shtar comes first. Because only if all three things happen at the same time, then we're going to have to talk about that. They go, which one is going to get to collect first is also going to depend on, so we're talking about which one they collect from, but you also have to ask which one gets to collect first. That's going to depend on the dates of their shtaris.
Now, even if he says anachdol chamakon advice, that's going to be good only for the guy who's goyver zburius, but the other guys who are the other one to get to a bainless or idius, he didn't hand a noilachti because you get some bellies.
So that's what the Gemara is going to do. The Gemara is going to bring up that point. Yeah. So first the question is, we said mochron la'echad heichidami. What is the scenario when we're saying he sold them all to one person? Ilema vasachas. Are we talking about he sold them all to the one person, all in one shtar? Well, then what's the chiddush? Hashdol shloisha, when he sold them to three people, and you could claim that he sold them to one of them first. We just don't know because shtaris usually don't have, Tosfos points out, a shtar has a date on it. A shtar does not usually have a time on it. The Gemara mentions elsewhere that in Yerushalayim, they would put the time on a shtar, but in other places, they did not. So therefore, when you have three shtaris that are all dated Rosh Chodesh Kislev Tavshin Pei Dalet, you don't have really a way of knowing which one was actually sold first. By the way, if one of them claims I bought it first, then do we believe them? There's actually a machloikas. They're not. Do we believe them? Do we accept that as a claim and say Nachti l'chol makom ligvus hemenu? And Shulchan Aruch actually brings two opinions about that. If he says, look, I bought it first, and it was, even though it was all the same day, I'm claiming that mine was first. So yesh mi shomer, Tosfos says, Shulchan Aruch says, some say we pay attention to what he says, and the other opinion says no. The fact is the shtaris all say the same day, and we don't have the time. So in other words, the point would actually be it's not just a matter of a suffix. When are the three kinyanim chal only at the end of the day? Well, then they're all chal at the same moment. So the fact that he says that I came at 1 o'clock in the afternoon and the rest of them came at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, that wouldn't matter because we don't write shoyts on the shtar, and therefore the din is the kinyan is only chal at the end of the day.
So what do they write?
So they don't. They just write the date.
Right, but you said that in Yerushalayim.
In Yerushalayim, they would write the date as well. In Yerushalayim, they would write the times as well. So in Yerushalayim, they might write this one came at 1 o'clock, this one came at 2 o'clock. So then fine, then we have a way of knowing which one came first. Anyway, the point is, getting back to the Gemara. So we're saying that if he sold it to one person, then kulam nichnasu tachas abaylam. But the question is, what are we talking about? Ilema bas achas. Are we talking about we sold them all in one shtar? Well, what's the chiddush? Hashdol shloisha. What are you talking about? We sold it to three people. De'ik alamei machad minayu kodim. Conceivably, one of them might have bought before the other two, and yet amr kulam nichnasu tachas abaylam, and we're still saying that all of them go in instead of the baylam. Mocher ma echad mi boya. Would you need to say in the case where he sold them all to one person? Obviously not. So therefore, it's clear that we can't be talking about he sold them to one person in one shtar. So we have to be talking about where he sold them to one person, one after the other. First, he sold the Idis, then the Beninis, then the Ziboris. Well, the question is, well, then in that case, then what's the difference? When he sells it to three people, we're saying why is it they have to start collecting from the last one? Because each one can say, each one can say, you know what, when I bought, then the original person who owed all these things, let's give them names to keep things straight. Yaakov owned Moshe owed a bunch of things. He owed for Nizokin and Ksubas Isha and Balchoy. Now he sells it. He owed to all three of them. Now he goes and sells his Idis to Reuven, his Beninis to Shimon, and his Ziburis to Levi. So we say they all collect from Levi because Reuven and Shimon can say, go collect from Levi, all of you, even though some of you are supposed to get more than Ziburis, because the fact is when we bought, then he still had something left. Well, so now if he sells them all to one person, one after the other, in three shtaris, when it's only one person, why can't Reuven, who bought all the fields, why can't he say the same thing? Why should you be collecting from my Idis that I bought from Moshe when, after all, when I bought that Idis, Moshe still had the Beninis and Ziburis, So therefore, so why in that case are we saying Nichnas or Tachta Bailim and he has to pay out the Idis to the Nizik and the Beninis to the Balchoy? The answer is Hoch Maiskin Kentralokach Idis Bachroina. Because you could be talking about the case where this one person, Reuven, the last thing he bought is the Idis. Well, therefore, so he would rather actually that they each go for whatever they're supposed to get, Idis, Beninis, and Ziburis, respectively. If they go according to Achron, they're all going to be getting from Idis and he doesn't want to have to do that. And Rav Sheshes says the same thing. Well, the question is, in that case, Taka, they should all have the right to collect from Idis. How can he tell them, no, I don't want to do that? Can't they say, on the contrary, yeah, you have Hinachti L'chol Mokom Ligvus Imenu. Therefore, when you bought the Beninis and Ziburis, then the original owner still had the Idis, and we could have collected from him at that point because it was Bnei Chorin. Now, at this point, the fact that you bought the Idis shouldn't prevent us from all collecting from it. Why does he have the right to say, no, I'll give you and you only Beninis and Ziburis, respectively?
Well, he owns all three.
He owns all three, but that's the question. Why is he able to do that? Why is he able to give the Baal Chayv from Beninis when the Baal Chayv can counter-argue? He can say, look, if you had stopped at only the Beninis and Ziburis, then I would have been collecting from Idis. Now that you bought the Idis last, why does that prevent me from getting from that same Idis?
The only thing is that when the original owner owned it, he owned all three also.
Yeah, but the point is, in other words, now he sold one after the other. That's what we said. When we said he sold it to one person, we mean bezach hazeth, three separate shtaris. So now the question is, in other words, if it was all in one shtar, sure, then of course they're collecting each from their respective thing. The question is, though, that in three separate shtaris on the same day, so again, let's assume there were different times in the day, 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, and 3 o'clock. 1 o'clock, he bought the Ziburis. At that point, if he stopped there, then the collectors can collect from Beninis and Idis, respectively, because that's all that Moshe has left. Later on, he goes and buys the Beninis, same thing. All of them should be collecting from the Idis. Why now that at 3 o'clock he bought the Idis, why does that now make that now they get bumped back down to Beninis and Ziburis, respectively? Why can't they say there was a point where we could have collected from Idis because there was a point when Hinachta L'chol Mokom Ligvus Hemenu, you left us Idis in the hands of Moshe, and we could have collected from him. Why is the fact that you bought it now, why does that take away that possibility from us? And the reason is, Mishum De'omalahu, the reason is because he can answer them back. If you're willing to be quiet, and you're willing to take according to your regular din, Beninis and Ziburis respectively, then go ahead and take it. And if not, I will return the shtar of Ziburis to the owner. I will make it, in other words, as though I never bought the Ziburis in the first place, and then you're all going to have to collect from Ziburis because that's all the guy owns at the time. So therefore, in other words, he's saying to them, now with the Ksubas Isha, she's not really gaining one way or the other. I mean, either way, she's getting Ziburis. But at least as far as the nizakan and the baal choy, he can tell them, you know why you're getting only, from what you deserve. Well, the baal choy, let's say, why are you baal choy getting only from bainness when you argue you should be getting idis? Because I have capability of making it that you should collect only ziburis by undoing the sale of the ziburis. Rishonim disagree, by the way. Is that a serious claim that Beis Din will uphold, or is it just like an empty threat? So if you say it's an empty threat, the point is the other guy might say, as the Gemara itself is going to mention soon, l'chita hadir, fine, if you go and return it, then I'll deal with it. Right now, the fact is you haven't. If you say that it's a serious claim, then it's something that Beis Din Tak has to deal with, and it would also mean, therefore, if he doesn't make the claim himself, Beis Din might make it on his behalf. We often have a concept that if a person himself doesn't know what claims he could make, then Beis Din can speak up to a certain extent on his behalf. Be careful. Like it says in Pirkei Avos, they shouldn't make themselves like lawyers for him. But there are cases where Beis Din will taina on behalf of the person. For example, if it's a Yodish, for one thing. Okay. So the Gemara asks, Yehochi, the nizakin nami name ahochi. Well, in that case, the same thing should apply to the nizak, that the he could tell him, if you want to take bainus, then good, and if not, then I'm going to make it that you're going to get ziburis. Why does he have to give him idis? Ella hoch maiskin and biyasmi. So rather, we can't be talking about where the original people over here are still alive. We have to be talking about where the seller, after he sold these properties, he died. So now, the Yisoymin, he left them metaltlin, but metaltlin are not meshubad to a baal choy. Therefore, we have to be talking strictly about karka. So now Rashi goes on to explain that when he gives them karka, it's like the equivalent of Yisoymin buying karka after their father died. So therefore, as the Gemara continues, shibur de delay alay di de ram. Therefore, the shibur of the mazik, who since then has died, is now only on the lekeach, because now the yisomim don't have a shibur anymore, because they didn't inherit any karka from their father, because it was all sold before they died, and therefore before he died, and therefore they have no shibur. Hilkach lekalam emahochi. So he can't say, you know what, I would give back the shtar of Ziburis and you're all going to collect from Ziburis. So the question is still, if he bought the Idis at the end, then why are they not collecting from Idis? Why don't they collect from their respective things? Because why do they collect from their respective things? Idis, Benis, and Ziburis is because he can say, I can return the shtar. But here, if we're talking about where he died and his son's Yarshin only is metaltlin, because his karka he already sold, and therefore we're saying there's no shibud on the yisomim anymore, and therefore the buyer can't say, I'll give back the shtar. So then we're back to the question. Then why are we saying if he sold the Idis last, why can't they all collect from Idis? Now that he doesn't have that Ishas Kisu, now that he doesn't have that excuse to say that I would return the shtar. There is, by the way, a discussion among Rishonim. Are we talking about specifically where the Yisomim are little, or are we talking about even where they're adults? Anyway, we're back to the question: why is it that we're saying that they all collect from their respective ones? They all collect from the last one. If he bought Idis last, why aren't they all collecting from Idis? So the answer is Ela Mishum de Omalahu. No, the reason is because the Lekeach can make a different argument to them. He can say, time of my Omer Abonin ain't the Froim in the Chosim of Shabbatim Mokam Shiesh B'nei Chorin. Why did the Chachamim to begin with say this takana, that you can't collect from the Shabbatim from property that was already sold when there's B'nei Chorin, and therefore you want to argue that when I bought the Beinus and Ziburis, at that point there was still Idis in the hands of the original guy, and therefore you could have collected from him, and now therefore you want to say that shouldn't change just because later on I bought the Idis from them? Well, the reason is, he says, Mishum Takanta Didi. The reason behind that takana in the first place is to benefit me. Because you don't want to have that a person is going to buy land, and then maybe later on he's going to find out that the baal choyv or whatever is going to be taking it. Where instead we would say he wouldn't have bought the property in that case in the first place. So therefore the chachamim make it. It's better usually for the lekeach to not have to pay off, but rather to make the original person pay off. Only if he can't. Only if he sold everything, then we start going after the buyers. Well, the point of that takana was for my benefit. In this particular case, the takana comes out to be to my detriment. With that takana, you would all be collecting from the iddis I bought from him. Without that takana, we're going to go back to the rule that each of you is going to collect from your respective thing. Iddis, benis, and ziburis. I would rather have it that way. And that's a valid argument, kidirab. That's a valid argument, like Rabba said. If a person says, I don't want the takana of the chachamim, as an example like this, shomin loy, then we listen to him. When a person says that the takanas chachamim in this particular case doesn't benefit me and I want to do without it, then we can pay attention to what he says. Mike Gonzu, what do we mean like this? So that would be Kedir Rav Huna, like what Rav Huna says. The Omer Rav Huna, Yechoyla Isha, Shetomel Abayla, Enin Izonis, for any Oysa, we learned in Ksubas, usually what a woman earns or what she makes, wool, spins wool or whatever, belongs to her husband. And in return for that, she gets mezonis from her husband, that the husband supports her financially. She's entitled to say, any mezonis, for any oisa, I don't want that takanas chachamim. I don't want you to support me. I don't want to have to produce. Ma'isi yadayim, I'll support myself. Since that's a takana that was originally made for her benefit, then therefore she could say that. So therefore, in a similar vein over here, since it benefits the guy in this particular case to say, I don't want takanas chachamim of mishabodim versus b'nei chorin, then we listen to him. Therefore, we say they can't all collect from idis. They can only collect from the nizek is still going to collect from idis, but the baal choyim and the ksubas isha are going to collect from beinis and ziburis as they usually
do. If one guy bought all,
that's what we're talking about, where one guy bought them, but he bought them one after the other. If he bought them all in three different shtaris, if he bought them all in one shtar, then none of that applies, and then they all collect from their respective things regardless. Okay. The Gemara continues further on this topic of where he sells the different kinds of property. Pshita. Now it's obvious that if Mocho Lekeach Benis Viziburis, that if the Lekeach himself went and turned around and sold the Benis and Ziburis, the Shir Idis Lefonav. So in other words, now we have the original person who owed things. You had Moshe who owed things. He sold everything to Reuven and was saying he sold it one after the other to Reuven. Now Reuven himself turns around and sells some of it to Shimon. So if he sells the Benis and Ziburis, the Shir Idis Lefonav, and he left the Idis, there's no question Leisu Kula V'ligbo Me'idis. Obviously, all of them are collecting from Idis, because the last one in his possession, and therefore, if it had still been in the hands of the original Lekeach, then that was the last one, they would have collected from him. The same thing now, here you don't say, because the fact is, Beinus Viziburis less new gabe. He doesn't own the Beinus and Ziburis anymore. The Matzi Lemei Malahu govum Beinus Viziburis delenichali b'takanta rabbanon. In the earlier case, he could say, you know what, I want you to collect from Beinus and Ziburis because the takana of the chachamim would make it that you have to collect from Idis, and I don't want that takana chachamim. Here he sold the Beinus and Ziburis. There's nothing to talk about. Obviously, therefore, they're all collecting from Idis. Abel, the question would be, Mocher Idis v'shir Benis v'ziburis mai. What happens the other way around? If he sold the Idis, he still has the Benis and Ziburis. Do we say that they can go to the second buyer and collect from Idis? There we don't say anymore that it's a matter of Meshabodim and Bnei Chodin, because all of them are Meshabodim. None of them are in the hands of the original owner anymore. Or do we still say that they can only go after what's in the hands of the first buyer? So Abaya thought to say that all of them can collect from the Idis, because after all, at this point, that's the last one, because and at this point, this is the last of the Bnei Chorin. But Omelei Rava, but Rava says no. Ma mocha rishon l'sheni kol schus shetava liyadei. After all, when the first person sells to the second one, along with what he's selling all schus that he has. Now, the kibin de'ilu osu l'gabi l'keach rishon. Now, if they went to the first buyer when he has the idis, motzi agbi lahu, he would be able, mibeinnes v'ziburis. He would have been able to give them from the beinnes and ziburis, because again, he would say, I don't want tachanas chachamim, like we said before. Then in that case, and even though the Benness and Ziburis were when he bought them, the Idis was still Bnei Chorin. And therefore, the end of Frum and Achosim Meshabodim calls Mandi Ika B'nei Chorin. And again, we said that you can't collect from Meshabodim where there are B'nei Chorin. But again, that was a takana for the benefit of the buyer. And after all, he says, Motzi Omalei Lenichali B'hai Takana. And we said before, he can say, I don't, in this particular case, that takana doesn't help me, it hinders me, and therefore I don't want to take advantage. Well, by the same logic, Makayach Sheni Nami Motzi Omalei Gabi Benes Viziburis. This is the second buyer who buys from the first one whatever schus he had in this property. The same logic applies. He can also say, Govi Beinness Ziboris, collect from Beinness and Ziboris, the Kik Zobin Lakayach Sheni. The second buyer bought the Idis, he left the Beinness and Ziboris in the hands of the first one. Adai to the Kol Schus to have the Lidushin Begava Zobin. Then he buys it, having in mind all the Schus that the original one had. So, since if the original one had all three of them and he had bought the Idis last, we would say, he could say, like we said before, you collect from Beinness and Ziboris the same way now when he turns around and sells the Beinness and Ziboris to somebody and sells rather the Idis to somebody else, that somebody else has the same right to make that same claim. Because the one I bought it from could have said about this idis, EF Shibat Akanas Chachamim, so can I.
It's only if you bought all of them.
So we're talking about, in other words, you had Moshe, the original one who owed all three things. Then he sold everything to Reuven, and he sold Idis last. So we said, Reuven has the right to say to the people, you can't all collect from Idis. I, Takanas Chachamim, EF Shibat Akanas Chachamim. Now, when Reuven turns around and sells that Idis to Shimon, the same thing applies. Shimon can also say, you don't have the right to collect from my Idis, because instead you collect for your, so you collect from the Beinness and Ziboris that are still in the hands of Reuven. Reuven is not the original Baal Chayv. Fine, but when Reuven sold the Idis to me, he sold along with it whatever rights he had on the Idis. Just like if he owned all of them, he could have said, I bought the Idis last and EF Shibat Akanas Chachamim. The same way, I bought that Idis from him, I can also say that I bought from him the right to say EF Shibat Akanas
Chachamim. If he owns Beinness and Ziboris.
They're talking about where Reuven still owns the Beinness and Ziboris. Yeah, that's what we're talking about.
Even though he sold
the Idis now to somebody else, that's somebody else. So that's the thing. Abai had thought that no, at this point, it's not Meshabodim versus B'nei Chorin, because all of them are Meshabodim. None of them are in the hands of Moshe anymore. But Rava is saying, no, the fact is, when he buys Karka, together with it, he buys the rights of all that. Yeah. Okay. Another din. Omar Rava, Reuven Shemacha Kol Sedos of L'Shimon. Here's a related din. If Reuven sells all his fields to Shimon, v'holach Shimon amochah soda achas lo Levi, Shimon then goes and sells one of those fields to Levi, or bo bal choiv de Reuven, and Reuven's bal choiv now wants to collect. So then, we're talking about that Reuven doesn't own any fields anymore. All of them are in Shimon's hands except for one that's in Levi. The bal choiv, rotzim izeh goiva. He can collect from either one that he wants. Because neither one has in other words, he can collect if he wants to collect from Levi. Because after all, you bought the shibud, you bought a land that was under my shibud, and therefore I'm entitled to it. Or he could collect from Shimon because he could say, look, you bought everything from Reuven in the first place, therefore you're more my baal dvarim. Therefore, I have more of a claim against you. So therefore, he can say to Shimon, I want, fine. You only have Ziboris. Fine, I'm willing to take that rather than having to bother with Levi. However, v'loyam moron, ela dezaban beinness. Now that would only apply if Levi had bought beinness from Shimon. Abel zaban idis v'ziburis loy. But if Levi had bought either idis or ziburis, then no. Then the Baal Chayv has no right to go after Levi in the first place. De omale, because Levi can say mahochi daiki v'zavni idis v'ziburis. The precise reason why I made sure to buy from Shimon the idis or ziburis is out of the lechaz yolach, is because that's land that's not suitable for you. So if I bought Beinness, sure, it means that I have a shibud now and you could collect from me. But if I bought Idis or Ziboris, to begin with, I made sure that I'm buying something that's not under your shibud to go after Shimon. Even if he did buy the Beinness, we also have to be talking about where the Beinness, where he didn't also leave behind by Shimon other Beinness of the same quality. Then he can't say Nachtel Hamakim because there's no other Beinness that Shimon owns that's of that quality. Aber Shir Beinness, But if he left over bainus to kavasei of the same quality, gabashimin, loy govimine, then again the Baal Chayv cannot collect from Levi, demotzi omale, nachto chomokim, like the same menu, because he can say, fine, I bought bainus, and all bainus is under your shibur, but at this point we have a nefroim, nechosim, shabodim, mokim, sheesh, b'nei chorin. It's true, it's not total b'nei chorin, because it's not in Reuven's hands anymore. Reuven is the one who owed you money, Shimon is not. Nevertheless, since Shimon bought all of Reuven's properties, then Shimon takes over where Reuven left off. Now, he took to the whole package, therefore, relative to him, this is B'nai Chorin, and therefore, you don't have a right to collect from me, Levi, go after Shimon. Only if Shimon doesn't have bainness of that type, then you can talk about collecting from...
Shimon's the last buyer.
So Shimon was, yeah. No, Levi was the last buyer, but we said Levi bought only one property. So what we're saying, where he bought bainness, and Shimon still has bainness, and Shimon has no other bainness of that quality, that is where we say that now the Baal Chayv can either go after Levi to get the bainness, or he can go after Shimon to get the ziburis. But if Shimon still has bainness, then he Davka has to go to Shimon. He has no option of going to Levi, because Levi can say, either I didn't buy bainness in the first place, so he can say, yes, I bought bainness, but I made sure that Shimon has other bainness that you can collect from instead. Fine. So we'll continue tomorrow. We'll continue Matzah Shabbos, Bez Hashem, with more of these cases of Nechosim, Mishabodim, and Idris, Bainness, and Ziburis, and all of that. Okay, everyone.